Well, good morning. I'm Ryan Leonards. I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road. And today I'll be continuing our series that we're calling Dialogue, Recovering the Lost Art of Communicating with God. But to begin, I want to tell you guys a quick story about a conversation, some communication I had earlier this week when I went to Caribou Coffee Shop. So it was Tuesday morning, I wanted to go to Caribou, start my morning there, get some time of reading the Bible, reading probably a couple of books, and praying. You know, this is my time. In the office, Brent likes to interrupt me. He's coming in talking. Lynn's like, hey, Ryan, can you help me with this? I need to get away. So I want to go to Caribou. God, I need to find time to be with you. I'm going to go. I'm going to put my headphones in my ears, and I'm going to have 2 hours of this beautiful time with Jesus. So I sit down in one of the big leather chairs. You know, every Caribou has two leather chairs next to each other. I sit in one of those. I'm comfortable. I'm Facebook messaging or I'm Instagramming something to the youth. Okay? And the guy next to me starts looking over and he keeps looking at me. And finally he says, you know, that's why I'm still here. What? Texting. Texting's the reason I'm still here. The moving company didn't move my piano because they don't answer the phone because they're always texting. Really? Why? So you're not from around here? No, my mother died and I'm in town for that and I can't get the piano moved. Okay, this is how the conversation starts. He's an older gentleman. He's dressed a little bit differently than I might imagine. You know, the shirt and the pants, brown suit coat, black pants, you get it. It just doesn't go. He starts talking, and he keeps talking, and I hear about the cherry trees his neighbors are going to cut down in Seattle. I hear all about the Quakers coming over to America. I hear extensively about his genealogy. And an hour and 15 minutes later, when all my time to talk with Jesus is done, he gets up and says, well, I think it's about time I go, and he gets up and he leaves. And I've got to tell you, in this conversation, I was getting a little bit irritated that he just kept talking and talking and talking. He never really asked me anything about myself. If I did try to interject with anything to like make a connection, hey, I lived in Seattle. Yeah, well, I lived here in my cherry trees. Like, there was nothing I could do to get a word in with this man for an hour and 15 minutes. Maybe you've been there, the talkers, and you're just like, why am I here in this conversation? And I tell you this story because realistically, I think that this gentleman's conversation with me is a lot like many of our prayer lives with God. God probably sits and goes, just stop talking. I want to say something. You just asked me for something. I want to answer, but then you keep talking. You know, and we feel like in our prayer lives, we have to be the ones who are saying something the whole time. And then when we're out of things to say, we say, okay, I guess I'm done. And just like this guy, we get up and we're ready to move along. Or kind of like God, we imagine, kind of like me, God, I'm going to pray at Caribou for this hour and a half to 2 hours that I have on Tuesday morning. Don't interrupt me in the morning when I'm getting ready. Don't interrupt me during my work day. I'm busy. God, I'm giving you these 2 hours for prayer, you know? And that's what a lot of us do. God, it needs to be on my time schedule. And then when it's on my schedule, I'm going to be the one who does all the talking. And God, what we need to understand is if we're saying prayer is a dialogue, it's communicating. Dialogue, we know, goes both ways. It's a back and forth conversation. One person speaks and then the other person speaks. And that's what this series, or that's what dialogue is. And so far in this series, what we've been talking about is really what we bring to God, how we ask, how we make our request to God. We've said, bring your request boldly to the throne of God. Stop worrying about the formula. Stop worrying about getting everything right and how you ask. Simply trust the Holy Spirit will edit your prayers, God will hear, and God is a God who's able to answer your prayers. And that's what we've been teaching over the last 3 weeks. But today, this message focuses not on what we say to God, but on what He says to us. I know for many of us we forget, but if prayer is dialogue, we have to understand it is both sides of the conversation. And so that's how every relationship in our lives works. We understand that innately. Can you imagine in your life if you were in a relationship with your kids or your spouse and they only spoke to you when they wanted to speak to you? Maybe you have that with your kids. Like you go to talk to them and they're like, not now, not when I want to talk to you. And the only time that you could ever speak with your spouse or your kids was when they had something to say. And then when they did have something to say, if they just talked at you and talked at you, and you'd try to answer the question and they just moved the subject, you'd be like, seriously, what is going on? This isn't communication at all. This is you just dumping on me. We understand that that's not a relationship. And so I'm sure that there are times that God sits and he feels the exact same way that maybe we've felt in these different relationships. He sat there and said, would you please just be quiet for a little bit and listen to what I have to say? Do you even care what I have to say? Is what I imagine sometimes God is thinking about me. He's like, Ryan, stop praying and talking. I have an answer. Just open your ears and shut your mouth, right? And I think we all need to understand that that's part of this dialogue of prayer, is giving God that opportunity to speak to us. But I wonder, why do we do this? Why do we have this built-in thing that so many of us think prayer is me talking to God? Prayer is me bringing my ass to God, and when I'm done talking, it's time to move on. Why do we think that way? Why do we think it's this one-sided monologue? The question I wonder is, do we actually believe that God is going to speak back to us? Or is that why we don't leave any silence? Because we figure silence is wasted because he's not going to respond. So I'll say my stuff and then I'll just hope that something happens. I think that's a big part of it. We don't believe that he'll actually speak to us. And if he did speak to us, would we even know how to recognize his voice? I'm sure if you're like me, at least at one time in your life, and when you've been reading through the Bible, you've wished that you lived in biblical times, because you're like, well, this seems a lot more clear. When God's speaking to Adam, it says God's walking through the garden, talking to Adam, audible voice. When God speaks to Moses, there is a burning bush that's not being ignited with any, or it's not burning out, and there's an audible voice. God speaks to Balaam through a donkey. Okay, if a donkey turns around and starts talking to me, I'm going, perhaps this is the voice of God, right? We've got Saul turned into Paul, the apostle in the New Testament, where he has this bright light that blinds him and this loud voice that he can hear, that he's like, this is clearly God getting my attention right now. And we think to ourselves, I wish God spoke that clearly to me. Probably many of you have heard preachers up on stage or people in conversation say, you know, I felt God telling me this. And you've thought to yourself, what does it look like for God to tell you something? Because I've never heard his voice. I think a lot of people have that question. They're like, what does it mean when you say God told you something? I've never heard God's audible voice, but I believe that God speaks to me often, and I want to talk about how that happens today as we learn about God does still speak to us today. Now, we're not the first people to ask this question, does God still speak? When you look back, actually, in the New Testament, you turn to the book of Acts, and I'll be in the book of Acts running through a whole bunch of passages today. But in the book of Acts, you have it right at the very beginning. Jesus is with his disciples when the book begins. And he basically says, hey, I'm going to be taken off. I'm going to the right hand of the Father. Hold on a little bit. I'm going to be sending you a Holy Spirit, the Spirit who's going to guide and comfort you. They don't really understand what that means. And then Jesus goes up into heaven. And we have these disciples who are like, okay, I don't actually know how to hear from God anymore. We had Jesus. He spoke to us. He was basically God's mouthpiece. But now what do we do? And we get this really interesting story at the end of chapter 1 in Acts where the disciples decide that they need to replace Judas. Okay, Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus. And then after he betrayed Jesus, he felt so terrible, he went out and he killed himself. And the disciples are like, well, there are only 11 of us. We need to replace Judas, bring in a 12th. How are we going to do that? So they decide that there's really two guys who are qualified to replace Judas, to be one of the apostles. And then they decide, okay, God, we're going to pray. One of these guys is right. Show us which one. And then they cast lots, probably writing on stones that they threw in the ground. And the lots told them who was the one who was going to be the next apostle. It's kind of like here at Ashworth Road, if you were looking for a new pastor, and you said, you know what, let's just bring in any candidates, any guys or gals that we want to have be the new pastor. Let's line them all up, and I'm going to put some fingers behind my back. Now, guess a number 1 to 10, And whoever is closest wins. And we'll just trust that that's how God is going to speak to us. And we think of that and go, well, that's pretty crazy, right? It is. But that's how people at that time tried to hear the voice of God. Okay? We have to understand that at this time, God spoke to people very differently. But then if we keep reading in Acts, it's in Acts 2 that everything changes. It's in Acts 2 where we read about how God changed everything about how he was going to communicate with his people. You see, it's in Acts 2 where we read about how it was the day of Pentecost. And now you have to understand, the day of Pentecost, Penta means 50, is 50 days from the day of Passover. So basically 7 weeks and a day from the day of Passover. And that's the day of Pentecost, okay? And it's on this day of Pentecost, celebrating this Old Testament festival, that for the first time, God sent his Holy Spirit onto the apostles and all these other people who were gathered with them in the upper room. And in this story, in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, it says something like a flame of fire came down and it divided out, and these other flames of fire came and rested over the heads of the people. And we hear that and we go, that's really strange, right? That's really weird. But it's this account of the Holy Spirit for the first time being given to God's people, and then they speak in other languages. And I understand when we read this part of the Bible, it's actually caused a lot of division between Christians. We have some people that look at this and they say, well, you know, because this happened here, everybody should have that same experience and speak in other languages. And we call them Pentecostals because this happened on the day of Pentecost. But there's other people who say, no, that was a special thing. I believe God did it. But he did it for the apostles and he did it for the people during the time of Jesus. And that doesn't happen anymore. And we have the Holy Spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit in a different way. And he doesn't speak to us like that. And today, what I want you to understand, today, which is, incidentally is Pentecost Sunday, which is kind of fun that we're talking about this message. It's 7 weeks from Easter. I want to bypass the debate about people speaking in tongues or saying that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are completely done. And I want to say, here's the point that we should all agree on. When God sent the Holy Spirit, he changed how he communicated with his people. In Hebrews 1:1, it says that in the Old Testament, God spoke to their ancestors, to the people, through their prophets. Okay? God spoke through prophets. Occasionally, he spoke to a few people directly, and we have these very supernatural stories in the Bible. But for the average Israelite person, they never heard from God. God never spoke to them directly. God never spoke to them audibly. God never nudged them in their spirit in any way. They never heard from God. But after the day of Pentecost, we read about how God is going to pour out his spirit on all believers, on your sons and your daughters, your old men, your old women, even your servants. Everybody who is a follower of Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. And this means that every single person who follows Jesus now has direct access to hear from God through this Holy Spirit inside of us. Okay, this is the plain teaching of Scripture. It's outside of the debate of speaking in tongues or not. In fact, we then read numerous stories. I just flipped through the book of Acts in a Bible software. I just hit find the word Spirit everywhere in the book of Acts. And I just hit next, next, next. And looked at all the Holy Spirit's activities through the book of Acts. And it was fascinating. I just want to highlight four of the things that show us God's new method of communicating with his people through the Spirit. Going to run through these really quickly. In Acts 8:29, we read about Philip, who's one of the apostles, and he's simply walking down the street, and here's where we read, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Kind of a weird thing to say, and Philip ends up walking up to the chariot, and he hears the guy talking about how he doesn't understand the book of Isaiah, and Philip takes it from there, and he shares the gospel of Jesus with that man, and that man becomes a follower of Jesus. Really cool story, but what we see is the Holy Spirit said, hey, Philip, nudge, nudge, head up over by that chariot and just stay near it. Something's going to happen for you. We read in Acts 13, verses 2 and 3, another place where God's Spirit talks to the people. It says, while they were worshiping, these are a bunch of Christians at the church in Antioch, the Lord, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Again, the Holy Spirit, they're praying. They weren't looking, well, what should we do with Barnabas and Paul? They weren't seeking anything. Just in their normal prayer time, God shows up through the Holy Spirit and says, hey, here's what I want you to do, something you weren't thinking about. Send these two guys off. I want them to be missionaries. In Acts 16:6, we see the Holy Spirit directing Paul's travels. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Oh, okay, so there is something there. Paul wanted to head into Asia, but he couldn't. The Holy Spirit was saying, nope, not now, don't go. In Acts 20, verses 22 through 23, Paul speaks directly about how the Spirit has been leading him. He says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. So Paul's saying, I regularly have the Holy Spirit communicating with me, talking with me, but what I want you to understand is that likely all these places where it says the Holy Spirit's speaking to people, they're not having audible voice experiences. They're having these inner nudgings, these inner little pushings, this compelling, this guiding inside of them that they just feel like, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what I'm supposed to say, this thought that pops into their mind. That's what we're seeing here when we look at all these verses of how the Holy Spirit is guiding and compelling these people. And the reason I show you this is because I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit's work in guiding and leading is normal. Okay? I know that some of you may be thinking, these are special cases. These are apostles. This is Paul. This is for them back then. But this isn't for us. And I want to tell you, that simply isn't true. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Paul's writing to the church in Romans, and he says to them, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Essentially, if you're a child of God, if you're a follower of God, then you should be led by the Spirit of God. We should be able to hear the Spirit when He speaks to us. And this is the second half of the two-way conversation. We've been saying prayer is dialogue. Dialogue is we speak and God responds, and sometimes God speaks and we respond. And how does God speak to us? He speaks through His Holy Spirit. Often I think that we forget or we take this for granted. We live this Christian life where we're like, I follow Jesus and this is amazing. And I know I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, but I don't really understand what that means for me or how that changes my life. People before Jesus, they didn't have the chance to pray and have this back and forth dialogue with God. In fact, they went to the priests often and let the priests make their prayers and petitions to God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, but now we do. It's unfortunate, however, that often we squander this opportunity to hear from God, often because we aren't comfortable with the idea of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Or we don't think, maybe some of you would say, but I'm not spiritual enough to have that experience. The pastors might have that experience. People who've walked with God a long time, when they say God told them something, oh, they're spiritual. I'm just not there yet. Maybe someday I'll be spiritual enough. And that's just not the case. Here's the amazing thing. I think most of us have actually already had an experience where the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. And maybe we didn't recognize it as the Holy Spirit's voice. Maybe you dismissed it and you just thought, well, that's just an idea that popped into my own head from my own thoughts. But I want you to see, for Christians, it's very a normal experience for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Sometimes this maybe has happened during your times of prayer, and oftentimes maybe it's happened randomly throughout the day, like when God chose to speak to me while I was having this conversation with this guy, and I'm like, how can I get out of this conversation? And then I hear God saying, oh wait, I want you to have a conversation back with him. Oh, okay, God interrupted that moment and he spoke to me. I'll talk about that a little bit more later, how I responded. I imagine some of you can recall a time when you have simply felt compelled to do something or you've had somebody pop into your mind that you're like, why am I thinking about that person? I don't know. Maybe you felt you've heard about a ministry opportunity at the church or something that you can go help somewhere else, and you're like, I should really do that. And you feel strongly compelled. I need to go do that. These are all situations where the Holy Spirit perhaps is leading you, is compelling you, and is speaking to you in various ways and in various situations. You know, 2 weeks ago when I preached about how I said you can pray to God about anything, including if you lose your keys. Some of you have prayed that prayer. You've lost something, and you've said, God, show me where my keys are. And then a couple minutes later, you find them, and you're like, oh, good, I'm glad I found them, and you're off on your own. And we dismiss that. And we don't recognize, oh, wait, I did pray, God, show me. And then my mind took me to go check this place I hadn't checked. Let's not say, oh, I found it. No, we prayed it. These are all examples where the Holy Spirit is already leading most of us. We just don't recognize it, or we don't assign credit where credit is due. Does that make sense? Like, this is a normal experience for Christians. And what I want you to understand is having the Holy Spirit lead us and speak to us, it's not in the miraculous ways of speaking in tongues necessarily, that so many of us, we hear that and we go, oh, that's not for me. But it is just as supernatural. When these things happen, understand, God is speaking to you. Don't miss this. God still speaks through his Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural thing that we are so fortunate to experience. I understand for some of you, this may be a really strange idea, but it's true. Prayer is dialogue, and God has things he wants to tell you, but he needs you to know how to identify his voice and what to do when you think that you hear from him. And so with that in mind, I'm going to give you a few thoughts about how to communicate with God. But first, I have to say that while hearing the voice of God, I'm giving you a list right now, and you're like, is it really that mechanical, Ryan? No, it's not. Hearing God's voice is kind of like riding a bike, okay? When somebody teaches you how to ride a bike, they give you a few instructions. They tell you to get on the bike, but ultimately, you're the one who has to simply start pedaling, find your balance, and figure it out. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. All of a sudden, you're like, look, Mom, no hands. I'm still going, right? Same thing is true of hearing the Holy Spirit speak to us. If you've never done this before, I can try to tell you what it's like. I can say, you know, it's like a little nudge. You're not going to hear an audible voice. But all these things, I can't tell you exactly how it's going to go. All I can do is point you and encourage you and say, this is important. Try it out. And the more you try it, you'll find that you can hear from him. And all these things will make sense. And you'll be like, oh, I'm doing it. I hear him. And I'm responding. Okay? So that's my little caveat before I get into my list of how God communicates to us and what we should do. The first thing we need to do is we need to be listening. If we want to have communication with God, we need to listen. This sounds really, really simple, but it's not, especially not in America. God could be shouting at us. In fact, sometimes I bet he is. But our lives are so full and so busy, and have so much noise and so much chaos going on at all times. Our minds are spinning on what's in front of us all the time, to the point where if God's whispering in your ear through the Holy Spirit, we're probably going to miss it. So we have to make time to listen to the Holy Spirit. A few ways that we can make time to listen is that when we pray, yes, we can say everything that we want, but there has to be a time where we sit quietly and we wait. God, here's everything that I want and I need and I'm struggling with and I'm concerned about. And now, God, tell me, what do you want from me? What do you need from me? What do you want to teach me? I'm just going to sit here and wait. And that silence gets really uncomfortable for us, doesn't it? It's really weird for us to do that. We want to have the noise. But God wants to speak to us, and we have to make room for him to speak to us so that we can listen. Second thing we can do is we need to make a habit of spending time reading the Bible. Okay? We say that the Bible speaks to us. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is alive and active. And that doesn't mean that the words actually dance on the page when you open the Bible. What it means, though, is that the Holy Spirit uses the words on the page to illuminate. This is a fancy word. Illumination basically means He's the one who makes the words jump off the page and into your mind. If you've ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I've never seen that before, that totally fits with the situation I'm going through right now. Many of us have had that experience. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you by using God's word, okay? This is one of the great ways that we can listen to God. We read His word and let the Holy Spirit pull out the different things that God wants to speak to us. A third thing that we can do is we need to take time to unplug. Maybe you could drive with the radio off even once a week. Just try it. Don't have the radio on and say, God, what do you have for me today? Maybe you could relax at home without technology being on. Don't have the TV on. Don't have the phone up. Just sit there. Look out the window. You know, sit in quiet. Go out for a drive. Go out somewhere. Sit outside. Just be in quiet once in a while. Unplug. And in those times, God often uses them to speak to us. To, you know, somebody pops into your mind and you're like, why am I thinking about that person? Oh, perhaps after hearing this sermon, you'll go, that's the Holy Spirit. There's a reason I'm thinking about that person. And then we have to be sensitive to any of these proddings, these random thoughts or these strong feelings that we have. Sometimes we miss God's voice, not because we're not making any time for quiet, but because we simply don't recognize it. We misdiagnose the cause of those feelings, and we fail to recognize it's actually a word from God. Just like the situation with the keys. We instantly go, oh, I thought of it. No, you didn't. God did. You know, or you have this struggle at work, and you're like, how am I going to get through this? And all of a sudden, a great idea pops into your mind. Oh, I'm glad I had that idea. Well, maybe if you were praying about it, God gave you that idea to get through that difficult situation. Let's stop assigning all these things to ourselves or to somebody else, and let's say, oh no, that is God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. We must recognize that the Holy Spirit often also speaks to us through what other Christians tell us. Okay, if they have the same Holy Spirit inside them, then God can use them as a mouthpiece to get our attention. So again, when we're sensitive to things, when somebody says something, you're like, that's strange that they just said that, I had this other thing happen. Right. God, if that person's a Christian, works through that person, just like He works through you. We have to just simply be more sensitive to these things, okay? For an example I want to give, most of my best ideas for ministry, what am I going to do with the youth? What's a big idea for outreach that we're going to do? And I'm going to speak for Brent. The same's probably true for him, though. It's not when we're sitting at the computer typing and like, I need an idea, I need an idea, I need an idea. It's when we step away from the computer and we say, God, I just want to pray. I just need to connect with you. God, you know, I start thinking about all of you. I start thinking about the youth. God, what do you want to do? It's in those times that all of a sudden I have these great ideas spring to mind. And I know they're great ideas because they're from God, and typically they work, okay? And it's not because I'm a genius. It's because I took the time to unplug, and then when I had the prompting or the feeling, I didn't go, oh, okay, maybe, should I, is that? I'm going, no, I'm going to take that from God. I'm going to try this out and flesh out this idea. Does that make sense? These are just the normal ways this looks. And I think that God sits there when we unplug and we do that, and He says, thanks for asking me. Here's what I would do, Ryan. And we're finally giving God time and the opportunity to interject in our lives. The second thing we need to do, part of this communicating with God, first we listen, we hear His voice, but then for many of us, we're going to have questions. We're going to say, is that really God, or is that just me thinking something? So the second thing is we need to examine what we feel God is telling us, okay? On the small things, it's a pretty quick examination. Does this make sense? Is this biblical? Yes, yes, check. Okay, I'll move on this. I trust this. There are times, though, where we have to understand if we don't examine what we think is from God, we end up in this weird situation. Maybe you've met people who've done this. They're doing something that you look at it and you go, I don't know if that's a very good idea. I don't know if that's really well thought out. And they're just like, but God told me and I'm doing it. And you're like, has anybody told you that's a good idea? Well, no, everybody's against me, but I know God told me, so I'm doing it. Okay? And so we have to understand. Some of us would say, well, if anybody gives you resistance on an idea, then clearly it wasn't from the Holy Spirit. And so I need to stop. And others say, well, you know, we can't always stop every time there's resistance. But other times, if a bunch of people who are believers and Christians are saying, I don't know if that's from God, I don't know if that's a good idea, we need to be listening to that. So there's this examination. And here's what it boils down to. How do you examine it? If what you think you're hearing from God lines up with the Bible, that's really important, okay? God is never going to tell us one thing in the Bible and then tell you something different that conflicts with what's in the Bible through the Holy Spirit. It's never going to happen. The other thing is, if what you hear from God, you tell to other people, and a bunch of Christians are like, you know, as I think about it, as I've prayed about it, it doesn't seem like a good idea, you should take that as a warning. The same Holy Spirit is in each one of us. So if he's telling multiple other believers that you trust, hey, that's not a good idea, you should tell them that, then perhaps you're the one who's not hearing it correctly. And the reason that we sometimes hear things incorrectly is because our hearts are deceitful above all else. That's what the prophet Jeremiah tells us. Sometimes we have things that we think it's so deeply in our heart, we want it so badly, we're like, God told me I'm going to get it. Well, is it God or is it selfishness? Okay? And that's where we have to examine this real carefully. And typically it doesn't take very long for you to realize, oh, that's just selfishness. Or, no, that's not selfishness. This is an idea to do something that I'd never be willing to do. I know that's from God. So all I'm saying, just be careful. Don't be afraid of following a really big dream that the Holy Spirit gives you. But test those dreams first against what the Bible says and against what other people are telling you, other believers. Okay? We understand that point? Thirdly, we need to respond. Communication is absolutely worthless if I tell if my wife, let's say, go to my marriage, okay, it's not perfect by any means. If my wife is always asking me to do things, and every time she asks, I nod my head and say, yep, honey, I'll do it. I've heard, I've listened, she knows I've heard it, but if I never do what she has asked me to do, if I never respond, then we have a communication breakdown, don't we? Right? In fact, she'll get to the point where she'll say, I'm just tired of asking you. I'm going to do it myself. Same thing I think happens here with God. God asks us for things, but if we never respond, he probably is going to say, seriously, I keep giving you opportunities to get on board with what I want to do in my kingdom here. I keep giving you opportunities to be a part of this movement of bringing Jesus to this world, but you never respond. You never take action. You keep dismissing it, or you keep saying, getting so busy, you forget to do what you said you were going to do. And I think there are times where God's like, okay, if you're not going to listen, you're not going to respond. I don't have much more to tell you. We need to be people who, when we hear from God, we boldly take a step and we respond to him. It's important for this dialogue to work, for us to say, okay, God, when I ask for things from you, I hope, I expect you respond in some way. It may not be exactly how I asked, but I trust you're going to respond in the way that's best for me. In the same way, when God asks things of us, we need to respond to him. So the next time somebody randomly pops into your mind and you don't know why, here's what you should do. You need to stop doing what you're doing and say a prayer for that person. God, I have no idea why this person just came into my mind, but if they're in a difficult situation, I pray that you help them through it, give them wisdom for any decisions, protect them right now at this moment. I pray that you just intercede in whatever's going on in that person's life. Quick prayer. It's 10 seconds, but it's responding. And then maybe a little bit later, you pick up the phone and you call the person. Hey, you know, weird thing. Today you popped into my mind. I don't know why. I just wanted to see how you were doing. Maybe that person needs a word of encouragement from you. Maybe that phone call to that person is going to be this incredible word like, God knows what I'm going through right now. I can't believe it. And it's exactly what that person needs. And you get to be a part of answering their prayer. But you have to respond, okay? This communication with God, we have to hear him first and we have to respond. Or maybe you've been talking with a stranger before who's telling you about a difficult situation and you feel led by God to say a prayer with that person. Not just in your mind be like, when you walk away, I'll pray for that person, but to say, hey, would it be okay for me to pray with you? If somebody's opening up their heart to you, a stranger, and this sometimes happens to all of us, that person's probably in a place where they're going to say, yeah, I'd love prayer. If you feel nudged by God to do that, that's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you, and he's saying, I'd like you to do this. We're in dialogue. It's a two-way street. You ask me for things when you want them. Well, right now I'm asking you, says the Holy Spirit. I want you to respond. Pray with that person. Okay? It's in all these ways. We just, when we have that nudge, recognize that's the Holy Spirit, and I need to respond. I can't dismiss it. I can't say, well, that's just me having a weird idea. And I'm saying this to you, but I do this all the time in my life. There are so many times where things pop into my mind, and I'm like, oh, I should do that. And sometimes I'll tell my wife, I'll be like, yeah, this happened, and I thought about doing this. And she's like, well, did you? No. Why not? Go do it. Okay, fine. You know, I don't know why we have this in us, but we push back. We're like, ah, that'd be weird. That person would think that that's strange. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make it uncomfortable. I don't believe that's actually God telling me that. That's probably just some weird idea I'm having. No, stop dismissing the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. God still speaks to us every single day. This is a normal occurrence, and we need to simply become more accustomed to this, more used to this, so that this just becomes a regular rhythm in our lives. To tie this all together, my conversation with the guy at Caribou, okay? I don't remember what he's telling me about, probably his ancestors, okay? And then he's talking about his mom, and this weird thing, he just says, well, I'm just glad she didn't give all her money to Benny Hinn. Oh, okay, I know who Benny Hinn is. He's a preacher. Okay, I'll go there. Well, was your mom a Christian? Well, yeah, well, 12th generation Quaker. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. He starts going on and on and on about Quakers. And as I hear him, it's like, well, I'm a Quaker by birth, not by faith. Okay, nothing wrong with Quakers, but you can't just be born into your faith. So at a certain point, I feel God, and he's, you know, God was saying, Ryan, try to find out where this guy is with Jesus. Okay, and it was at that point I no longer saw the conversation as a burden that was wasting my time. I saw the conversation as an assignment. God spoke to me, now I need to respond. How am I going to get this conversation to Jesus? So eventually, I end up saying to him, you know, as he's talking on and on about the Quakers, I'm like, well, but where is your relationship with Jesus? And he stood up and said, I need a coffee refill. And he walked away. And he came back and we had more conversation. And I tried to bring it back. And at the very end of the conversation, as he got up, he's like, it was nice talking to you. You should read these two books. And I said, it was very nice talking to you. You should get into a meeting with the Quakers because faith isn't about just a heritage. It's about being a body of believers and having relationship with Jesus. And then he walked away. Okay. So, do I actually think that this accomplished anything dramatic? I don't know. Quite honestly, he's on his way. He might have forgotten about it. But it's one of those things where it would have been very easy for me to be like, no, not right now. God, I need time to go pray. I need time to go talk to you. And God's like, no, I am talking to you, and you need to talk to this guy right now. Okay? Do we understand this is how it works out? Sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. It was a really weird conversation. The people in the table in front of us, they kept looking over their shoulder. I'm sure they're thinking, this is a really strange conversation. It was. It was my assignment. God has given many of you assignments every week. You don't recognize it. We don't recognize it, okay? I'm just glad God gave me this one this week so that I had something to preach today, okay? Honestly, I'm always like, God, give me something so that I have a story to capture attention. And he's good. He answers my prayer. But here's the thing. Each one of us has these opportunities. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and so we have the opportunity to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us at any moment. The question is, will we be listening, and will we respond? So far in this series, we've talked about and we've challenged you to take a step of faith and bring all your needs, all your wants to God. And that is a step in your faith journey. But today I'm challenging you to take the next step and to not just pour out your heart to God, but to make your ears open, to be attentive, and to be willing to follow that voice of God speaking to you. Will you be courageous and bold enough to do those things? When you're out in the foyer, if somebody's telling you something and you can hear that they're carrying a heavy burden, And you feel God nudge you to say, well, I'll help you, or, you know, I'd like to pray with you, or can I meet with you, or anything. Don't just let it come in and then float out. Follow up on it. Respond. We each get this opportunity to be a part of what God is doing on this earth. Okay? God is trying to move through his people to make his name great, to make Jesus known, and we're a part of that. And in the same way that we're asking God, God, can you do these things for me? He's asking us, will you do these things for me? Will you be a part of my kingdom? This is this amazing thing we have with the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're not like the Old Testament believers or the Old Testament Israelites who just followed ritual, knowing that they needed to have faith in God, but never hearing from him. No, we're on the other side of the cross in the day of Pentecost. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have direct access with God. We have dialogue with God of the entire universe. Let's not squander that. We are in an incredible position of privilege to have God speaking to us. We simply need to make more time to be quiet. We need to be more willing to recognize, oh, that is from God. And we need to be willing to respond. So I encourage you, be listening. You don't know what you're missing on your Christian journey until you begin to regularly start hearing the Holy Spirit and responding. It's in that activity, that back and forth, that all of a sudden you'll realize, wow, this Christian life is so much bigger than I ever imagined.